Okay, we are live. Hello. If it's Friday, it is Margaritas with Margarita, 15 minutes of fabulous financial insights from Margarita Chang, CFP Pro. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, producer of the show on the Incandescent Radio Network and Incandescent TV, and we know you are going to love today's guest, Adam Cole, the couple's financial coach. He'll talk today about the number one mistake couples make when it comes to managing their money, and the top myths about relationships and money. So without further ado, take it away, Rita.
Well, thank you, Hope. And Adam, thank you so much for being here. You are so accomplished, absolutely brilliant. I'm so glad to call you my friend. Mm-hmm. You are a couple's financial coach. So describe to us how you came into this work.
Well, first of all, thank you to Hope for coordinating all this, for the introduction. And Rita, thank you for the kind words. It's always a pleasure to be with you, whether it is on a formal presentation or just connecting as friends and colleagues. And I honestly took a winding road that was not full of intention, but about 4 years back, realized within my coaching business, I was helping people navigate their finances, navigate their relationships. And it dawned on me that at the intersection of the two was such a profound need that is one of the top causes of stress in relationships. It's one of the top causes of divorce. And my background, I studied economics, worked as a financial advisor, then went to law school, got a master's in tax law, and also I'm a certified mediator. Plus, I've been married and divorced once myself, and as Rita knows, just got engaged over the weekend. So I've been through those trials and tribulations. I know the pain of losing a relationship. And when I saw, wow, you know what, with these mediation and coaching, plus the finance skills, I think I can make a really big difference in this sphere. And so that's what I've committed myself to for the last, give or take, 4 years now, reading, writing, recording, interviewing, podcasting, coaching, etc.
Well, thank you so much for sharing and congratulations. So I think, it's okay for you to like brag and boast a little because you are making a difference, but CNBC mentioned your podcast is one of the top three for couples and finances. So as a couples financial coach, how do you work with clients? Take us through that journey.
Absolutely. That was pretty neat too with CNBC. I didn't know that was coming. I just got a Google alert one day with my name and I was like, CNBC? What happened? So that was pretty neat. Basically, my work is all about couples who are either in one of three spaces, overwhelmed by the finance conversation, they are avoiding the conversation, and or they are fighting about it, right? And for those watching, listening, you might feel like you fall into more than one of those, but usually at least one of those three. And my work is all about helping them develop clarity around their finances, build trust and safety around the money conversation so that they can work as teammates, and then ultimately create a plan that helps them A, achieve their goals, but also have peace of mind, right? The money conversation often gets in the way for couples, and that's a big shame because it really doesn't have to be that way. And taking it a step further, I really believe that if handled the right way, talking about money can be something that strengthens relationships and moves them forward.
I love that. Now, what do you do for people who just want to avoid the money conversation? Or maybe it's not the couple, but one partner or spouse wants to avoid money conversation altogether.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a really common dynamic, right? Typically, my clients, there was one partner who was pushing for it more than the other. The first thing I do as a coach is make sure everybody knows they're welcome, that it's a non-judgmental space. And wherever you're at, even if you're like, I don't want to talk about this, cool, that is welcome. I'm not going to scold you about it. I'm not going to make you wrong for it. That's where you're at in the moment, right? What I am going to do is get curious and get you curious about why it is that you want to avoid it, right? And help you identify the triggers that keep you pulling away from the conversation. And then as necessary, it can be really powerful to look at, well, what's the law of inertia, right? Newton's, was it the first law or second law? It's like an object in motion tends to stay in motion. An object at rest tends to stay at rest. If you follow the inertia of how things are going currently in terms of your money and how you communicate and partner around it, what does that look like in a year, 3, 5, 10, right? We have to get really honest about that. And see, is that actually workable or is it untenable? And we got to be honest about that, right? Otherwise, we're going to stay stuck. So that's the kind of reality check moment. But then on the more positive end, it's also like, well, what if you were not stressed about money? You had peace of mind and so did your partner. What if you had a real plan that you both were bought into that could help you achieve the things that actually matter most to you and that was able to hold space for your individual goals and your joint goals, right? What would it be like if that was the space you were operating in as a couple? How would that feel? How might that be different than where you're at today or where you're headed, right? So it's kind of that three-pronged approach is like, what has you feel the way you do right now? What's the impact if things stay the way they are, right? And does that work for you? And then third, what would life be like and the relationship be like if you were really working with that clarity, teamwork, and had a plan that gave you peace of mind? And usually between those three conversations and inquiries, most people are like, okay, you know, I'm at least willing to dig into this. I may not be super excited, but oftentimes they really are. And pretty quickly they see the benefits of this, because if you're the avoidant one, once you show a true desire to work on this, that in and of itself transforms your partner. And I had a client recently where this kind of happened. The husband was the avoidant one. The wife was always like, we need to work on this. We need to work on this. She looked at me and she goes, Adam, in like 2 weeks, you have him showing up excited to this conversation in a way that he hasn't throughout the over a decade of our marriage. She's like, this is the man who I married. This is the man who I wanted to be with, right? She all of a sudden got back to that sense of who he was. He was no longer hiding or sitting in the shame or avoidance, embarrassment around money. He was now a proactive part of this conversation. And let me tell you, the way that affected her, I had to take a screenshot of the smile on her face because it said it all. And that can be you if you're the avoidant one. And if you're not, imagine what it would be like for your partner to show up that way.
I love how that's aspirational. How would you feel if, you know, no shame? That's what I tell people. You did the best you could with the information you had, but tomorrow's a new day. So let's do better. Mm-hmm. Now, what are some myths and misconceptions about couples and money or working with a couple's financial coach?
Yeah. So I would say, if I can use the opportunity to hit on what I think is the biggest mistake that couples make, when you are not doing as well as you want to with your finances, for most of us, our instinct is to try and cut our expenses, right? And that's a noble instinct, and it may be part of the process. But imagine this. You zoom out for a minute. If you and your partner either don't know where to start or don't feel comfortable and safe talking about money, and then now I say, okay, figure out what to do about this one specific thing, right? Figure out whether you should buy the more expensive toilet paper or the less expensive toilet paper. Even though that issue may or may not be super serious, you're asking for an argument because there's no sense of what's our overall plan and what goals are we trying to achieve? How does this toilet paper decision fit in? And also, I don't trust that we can have a money conversation and feel good about it. I don't have a sense of safety that I can tell you what's going on for me and that you'll hear it for what it is rather than ending up a fight or you shutting down, right? So rather than going straight to the numbers, rather than should we do YouTube TV or DirecTV, should we have Netflix or Disney Plus, start off by just getting some comfortable, I don't want to say comfortable, but start off by getting a couple of constructive conversations under your belt, right? And usually what I recommend to couples is start by talking about just some interesting questions around money. How did your parents handle money growing up, right? What messages did you learn? Which ones did you say are good and which ones did you push away, right? How did their attitudes affect you? Start with that kind of conversation, because there's not really much room for argument, right? You're just describing what happened. But at the same time, you're being vulnerable by sharing something about your past. You're opening up to your partner. They're learning more about you. And of course, all this stuff is vice versa. And by the end of that dialogue, it starts to build up a sense of trust. Like, oh, wow, we finally had a conversation about money that wasn't a nightmare, that wasn't a disaster, that didn't end with us feeling worse than we started, right? Instead, we actually feel a little bit better about things. Right. Okay. Well, let's continue to build on that momentum. Right. So I would say that's the biggest misconception. is people think we're having challenges financially or we're not where we want to be. Let's go to the numbers. Let's work on cutting our expenses. Start by just building a sense of safety and connection around money. And then from there, you can figure out what are our goals? Where are we trying to get to? Where are we today versus where we're trying to get to? How do we get there? Right. And then you can dive into the nitty gritty. Okay. Well, in order to achieve our goals in the time frame we want, we need to cut $500 a month from our expenses. Okay. Let's look at the whole roster of expenses and let's creatively just like spitball brainstorm different ways we might be able to cut some of our expenses. Right. And if you're communicating in a healthy way and building that trust and having open dialogue, new solutions typically show up that you hadn't even thought about, right? When we're kind of stuck in our own head, we only see one or two options, if that many. But when we're in the midst of a conversation, kind of dancing with our partner in terms of our ideas bouncing back and forth, there's going to be all kinds of new things that open up that will surprise you.
I do love that. And I think about some of the interactions I've had with clients and some of the assumptions, but just allowing those stories and the conversations to flow can be very constructive, right? It's a story. So we love our viewers and listeners to have some pearls of wisdom or some clear, concise, actionable advice. What are your top three takeaways for couples?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know I shared one about, you know, build that trust and safety first rather than going to the numbers. The overall structure that I take my clients through, it can be boiled down into a few steps. Number one, get comfortable talking about money together and also in, look inside yourself and explore. So number one, get comfortable, build that trust and safety. Number two, figure out your current financial situation, assets, debts, income, expenses. Number three, decide on your key joint and individual goals and what it would cost and take to get there. And then step four is building and executing a plan that gets you from where you are today to where you want to get to in the future, right? So that structure, there's plenty of nuance and distinctions within that, different ways you might want to handle it. But I recommend that as the overall structure. The first step builds that foundation. The second step figures out like, and where you are, the foundation there. And then where do we want to get to? And then fill in that gap. So I kind of think of it like a pyramid, right? Your current situation and building trust and safety is really the base there. Beyond that, whenever there's some sort of conflict, I think the best thing to do is to listen, listen with humility and curiosity, ask questions. And I know sometimes this can be difficult. Money can be an emotionally charged topic. And so if our partner says something that we don't agree with or doesn't vibe with us, we can get a lot of feelings, blood rushing to our head, you know, all kinds of different things going on. But take a breath, you know, take a few minutes of a time out if you need to. But just remember that they are sharing their point of view. It doesn't mean they're forcing things to be a certain way. They're just sharing what it looks like from their perspective. And if you can hear it, then that's going to make compromise available to you because you'll really get what they're saying and you know what you're thinking. And then you can find the marriage between the two. Whereas if you're just saying what you think and they're just saying what they think, it's just like this, right? It's like two people throw a rock in a rock, paper, scissors game. But if you're listening, you can actually come together and, you know, I invite you to model that. If you're the one listening to this conversation and you want to go apply it with your partner, model that first, right? Show up that way first for your partner. Ask questions, be curious, validate their point of view, and don't do it with like an expectation that they have to return the favor. But if you come with that pure heart, so to speak, not to be too cheesy, but with that pure heart, it will shift things, right? And it might take a couple of conversations, but before you know it, there'll be a profound difference in how you two communicate about money.
No, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. And then last but not least, where can we find your work? How can people follow you?
Absolutely. So I always like to direct people to a quiz that I have, which I call it your couple's money. You go find out your couple's money personality type. So this is really about how you and your significant other are handling money as a duo, right? And then based on whatever answers you give, you're going to get a type with some information and then a specific tool based on where you're at to help you get up to the next level. So to check out that quiz and get the free gift, it's couplesfinancialcoach.com/quiz, and the quiz is lowercase. So couplesfinancialcoach.com/quiz. And of course, couplesfinancialcoach.com is my website. You can find links there to all my social media, to schedule a complimentary financial harmony consultation, or to reach out to me. And I always enjoy and love meeting new people and talking about these things. So if you think I can support the journey you and your partner are on, let me know.
Well, thank you so much, Adam. We appreciate you sharing your insight and expertise with our viewers and listeners. Back to you, Hope.
That was fantastic. And we're going to put all those links in the liner notes, couplesfinancialcoach.com/quiz. I think everyone needs to take that quiz, right? Just so that you know what your financial advice is. Yes. So,
yes. No, thank you. Can I add one other thing, by the way?
Of course.
So actually, just in this past week, an article came out in the online version of Marie Claire. It'll be in the print version as well, about postnuptial agreements, which are basically like prenups, but when you're already married. And so I am quoted in that article, super proud of that. Emma Patty did a great job writing about an important topic. And, you know, take a look at that article, because there's a lot of stigma around prenups and postnups. But they can be really powerful for couples, and the conversations that it takes in order to create one will provide tremendous insight and actually bring you closer if you handle it in a healthy way. So shout out to that article.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you are clearly a wealth of knowledge and touching the heart as well as the head and the
pocket. I appreciate it.
Which is, you know, the perfect trifecta. So, and I'm working on a book called Why Divorce. So I am going to definitely interview you and bring you on my Why Divorce show. More, you know, five reasons to leave and five reasons to stay. So thank you, Rita. Amazing Margarita, gorgeous Margarita Chang, CFP Pro, MargaritaChang.tv, and MargaritaChangRadio.com. You can find all of these episodes. And next week, we are bringing on your friend Dan, a CFP board member, Dan Limbago. So Rita, talk a little bit about that.
So Dan Limbago is actually, he works at the CFP Board Center for Financial Planning, and he will be talking about the RIA Leadership Network and the amazing things we are doing at CFP Board to support the registered investment advisor community and increase diversity, equity, inclusion in our profession.
Excellent. Well, thank you. We look forward to next Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern, for Margaritas with Margarita and Adam Cole, the couple's financial coach. We couldn't be more appreciative for your time today. So
thank you,
everybody, for listening and playing with us. Have a great weekend, a long weekend, and mazel tov to Adam for your beautiful engagement. We're going to hear about this second marriage.
Oh,
we're going to bring you back on, right? All right, everybody. Be well.